How do you understand your company's reputation as an employer? Metrics vary from company to company, making it hard to benchmark your progress against competitors. This is where the Employer Brand Index comes in. It analyzes what employees, candidates, and alumni are saying about your company and quantifies these findings into a single score. We can even dive into your talent competitors to really understand how competitive your employer brand is. Our team of talent analysts collect all available data points, discover patterns, and deliver a report full of insights and recommendations. Want to know more? Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, Sandsvejsan! It's Jörgen Sandberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Today, we have a double act lined up for you, a dynamic duo representing a global company with over 240,000 employees. And today, we're specifically going to learn about how they have gone about implementing employer brand in North America. So let's start the show. Hey, Ali and Tanya, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic. So welcome to the podcast. Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, so my name's Tanya McNabb and I'm responsible for HR communications in the US and Canada for Continental. And I oversee both employer branding and internal HR communication.
And hi, I'm Ali Brown. I manage employer branding for the US and Canada.
So Continental, for the uninitiated, I think most of us will actually recognize the logo, but what does the company actually do?
Yes, Continental is a global technology company with over 245,000 employees in 60 countries. And we have a mission to make mobility more safe, smart, and sustainable. So you may know Continental as a tire manufacturer or that's what we're usually known for. Or some may even know Continental as a supplier to automotive original equipment manufacturers. So like GM, Ford, Mercedes, BMW, and so forth. But we're much more than that. So we're actually working on innovative technologies like smart cities, autonomous driving, and vehicle connectivity. So at Continental, talking about safety and technology, one of our main missions of the company is actually safety. So at Continental, we have something that we call Vision Zero, and this is our goal to have zero fatalities, zero injuries, or zero accidents. Oftentimes, when explaining to others who maybe are not familiar with Continental, we usually find ourselves in a situation where we're having to explain that we are not the breakfast and we're not the airline and that we are more than tires. From our side, you know, not only are we challenged with overall brand awareness outside of our tire business, but we're also challenged to attract top tech talent and change our brand perception as the automotive industry shifts. And as you know, it's, you know, not only the automotive industry who has this challenge of attracting tech talent, everyone's after it, including us.
Okay, so tell me about the employer brand strategy. How do you make sure that you are attractive to tech talent and those engineers and developers out there who may not think of Continental in the first place?
It's definitely a challenge that we face along with many others, like we just said, but Continental has had a global employer brand for years, but just recently we started to put resources into some of our key growth markets like the U.S. to further define and activate our employer brand strategy in these markets. Our company leaders and HR organization have this best fit approach when it comes to people and jobs. We believe our company mission can only be accomplished with having the right people in the right roles. And we're lucky to have forward-thinking leaders that understand the importance of employer branding as an enabler to support this best fit approach.
Yeah, and this is exactly, you know, one of the reasons I joined Continental and I was so attracted to the role. I joined Continental a little over a year ago to develop our U.S. strategy and activate the employer brand in the market. I came with a completely blank slate for the most part and a marketing background, which I think is really important for anyone that's doing this type of work because you're using all of the same skills and tactics. It's just a different audience. This is why we also approach our employer brand in the same way you would a consumer brand. A career is a huge decision. It's almost like buying a house. You know, people need to picture themselves living in it, and they also need to be emotionally bought into the company. So we follow a persona-based piece strategy to make an emotional connection with these people we're trying to attract. One of the first things we did was with our senior leaders and talent acquisition team, we identified our key personas. They are software engineers, as you mentioned, and shop floor technicians, which couldn't be more different. So when we're creating new content, not only do we tailor our imagery and our messaging, but we also, you know, think about which advertising channels are right for each persona and what is the best way to make that connection with them. You really need to know what they care about. It's interesting, our software engineers want to hear all the specific details about the technologies and what they'll be working on, how it will impact society, where our shop floor technicians are interested in what the environment will be like, what the benefits are, and if the company has training and development opportunities.
How does the North American version of the employer brand, how does it differ, if at all, to the global version?
It doesn't differ too much because with having a global employer brand and an organization like Continental that's very large with a matrix organization with lots of different divisions and business units and so forth, I mean, one of the things then behind our global employer brand is that it can resonate in markets across the globe. And so I think for us in the U.S. market, maybe Allie can chime in and speak to us a little bit more too, we really tried to verify that, in fact, the global brand would resonate with our key target groups here in the U.S. And through research and many studies, we found, in fact, that it did. Sometimes there are slight variations that we'll do in terms of maybe some of the types of imagery that we're capturing to ensure the correct representation of the types of talent that we're trying to attract here in the U.S. market reflects who we truly are in the U.S. So that may differ a little bit from maybe some ad sets that you would see coming out of Germany, as an example. Some of the things, too, which is in the language that we use, we make some slight changes to that to fit better with our talent market here in the U.S. as well.
Yeah, I think our global employer brand team is focused on developing the strategy and the employer brand. Like, for example, we just launched a new employer brand visual approach. So we kind of modernized the look and feel. So we have a whole style guide that comes with that, that gives the country's direction on how to implement the employer brand in the market. And then we're the storytellers on the ground that is putting this stuff into ads and putting it out on social media and all of that.
If we back up a little bit, I'd like to know about the EVP. What is the EVP, the tagline, pillars, and if you are there any specific ones you dial up and dial down for different personas?
So our EVP is Shaping the Future in Motion, which is based off of our corporate brand, The Future in Motion. Our employees are the ones producing the technology and ideas that will shape the future of mobility. So our EVP claim is Let Your Ideas Shape the Future.
Yeah, and as I just mentioned, we recently updated this global employer brand with a new visual approach. And when doing that, we also worked on a new communication framework that's based on our four core values. So I think this is something really important that your employer brand is also connected to your company mission and your values, and that you show that connection to employees and candidates to make what they will give and get out of the job very clear. And it's especially important when with an organization of our size to have a communication framework to ensure that we're all communicating the same message across the globe with some room for local adaption, of course.
So the values are essentially the same as the pillars.
That's correct.
Okay. I think that's brilliant. If the values are strong enough so they can be used as pillars, that's not always the case, I've found. And sometimes the values and the pillars might be slightly different, or they coexist, or one is an evolution of the other. But that is a very good way of doing it. And how do you activate the EVP across North America? And also talk to us about how you activate it specifically for different personas.
Last year for us was about building a strong foundation, and our main focus was really on strategy and developing our creative approach, which has helped guide us in all the content decisions that we now make. So if it's not reaching our goals or a target audience, we are not doing it. a lot of companies have a very similar value proposition with millennials and Gen Z. Everyone wants their work to matter and to make an impact. I recently listened to your podcast with SAS where they said almost the exact same thing. Our EVP, though, was derived from global research, and then we did more extensive research and focus groups in the US to validate it, and the findings were almost identical. As much as we want to stand out, we're not going to go against our research, do something different, and risk being inauthentic to our culture, because we all know you don't want to sell a false experience to candidates. But where we can be creative is how we're communicating our EVP. So the stories behind how employees are making an impact is what's interesting. And I think that's true for any organization. It's the details that make your brand come to life. So we're now sharing these impact stories on our monthly blogs, social media channels, and running digital campaigns. We recently also launched a new video. And instead of doing a typical testimonial video or culture video, we told a story. This approach was really different than anything our organization has done in the past, but our leaders trusted us and understood that they weren't necessarily the target audience and supported us to move forward. After a month into the campaign, we were able to demonstrate success through the number of views and other marketing metrics like cost per click and cost per thousand impressions. So currently we're producing all of this content, which I think you should when you're still getting your employer brand off the ground, to ensure that you're communicating the right message and that you develop some visual brand consistency. But we hope with building our employer advocacy program that we'll start to see more and more employee generated content in the future.
Do you have a specific hashtag for this? And also, do you provide training and encouragement for employees to be active on social?
So that's a part of what we're working on. We have a lot of hashtag ideas up in the air and, you know, aren't quite sure if it will be just one or, you know, some companies I've seen have several different hashtags that they use for different meanings. So that'll be a part of the advocacy program that we're currently developing.
And it will also be interesting to see through this advocacy program if any type of hashtag just kind of generates organically throughout employees. So sometimes I feel like, too, talking about being authentic, you have to look for the things that can develop naturally within an organization as well. Even though in employer branding, we're realizing that sometimes it's up to us to kind of plant the seed and get these things going and off the ground and really have employees feel part of that.
Yeah, we're really trying to be conscious of that balance of having things be organic. And then also, as Tanya mentioned, where can we plant the seeds and give them some help, like the social media training or some type of guide?
If you look at it from the organic point of view, where do incontinental employees like to be on social media at the moment?
It's different depending on, you know, our different groups. I think our shop floor technicians are, we see a lot of chatter on Facebook, and they, whenever we post something from a specific location, for example, we had a post about one of the plant managers at one of our facilities that got ridiculous organic reach just through the amount of all of the employees sharing it and commenting and liking. And then we see our engineers are more on LinkedIn. So it really just depends. We also have internal channels as well, like an internal social media.
How do you go about measuring success? Yeah, the ROI on employer brand. It's the $1 million question.
Yeah. So in the US market, we're really just a little over a year into truly activating our employer brand here. So last year when we were kind of just getting started, Allie and I put our heads together to say, like, how do we measure our success? Like, what do we do? Where do we even start? We started to demonstrate ROI with things we knew we could quantify, like traffic and engagement to our channels, which we include in a monthly KPI report, so we can track that progress over time. We recognize that as we continue to grow our employer brand in the market and establish new platforms, we'll need to continuously evaluate how we're measuring ROI and evolve alongside our employer branding peers. As I think all of us in this industry are kind of trying to figure out what is the best way to measure success in the area that is still relatively new. So I know many have said, you know, we all recognize that the function of employer branding is still new for a lot of us. And I think we're all trying to find our way and figure out like what's the right measurement, what we should really be looking at. So we recognize that for us, we're going to constantly evolve in this area over time. But really one of our real indicators that I've been able to see some tangible results, and I really think too our senior leadership team can recognize this too, is some of the awards for best employers and workplace type of awards that we've been fortunate enough to be recognized for just in this past year. So I think a lot of that also has to do with, you know, not only the internal perception of who we are as an employer through internal surveys, but also the external perception. And a lot of that has to do with the hard work that we've been putting into making sure that message is out there in the talent market. So for us, I think workplace awards is another indicator kind of on how we're measuring success with our employer brand activities. And then also, you know, in terms of benchmark and research and everything else as well, that's something we're still trying to navigate through as well. Like what's the appropriate way to measure, what's the right tool. And so we'll be happy to get our hands on anything that can give us any type of insight as to where we rank or where we compare to some of our competitors.
So final question is, what are your top tips to other employer brand professionals out there? And also please feel free to include any pitfalls to avoid.
From my side, one thing that I really see is it's important to keep the momentum going with your senior leaders in your organization. So, you know, for us, like I mentioned before, really activating our employer brand in the U.S. market is fairly new. And so, you know, oftentimes we have to kind of also sell it internally to the organization, proving ROI, why it's important, why we should be doing it. But if you involve your senior leadership team kind of from the beginning and they feel part of it, I think it's really impactful and you'll get further with including them. We've also really have enjoyed it, you know, having that relationship with the senior leadership team and sharing our successes with them and also sharing with them some challenges that we've run into along the way. So that's one recommendation, is really just to involve that senior leadership team, especially as you're kind of getting off the ground with your employer brand. Also, I think it's really important that you are involving your employees in your employer brand and also making sure that they feel part of it. So every company has great stories, but it's really our job of employer branding to find those stories and package it together to really showcase who we are as an employer, not only externally, but internally. So I would say through these testimonials that we've been doing with employees and just talking to employees, it's really neat to see that the culture and the things that people are passionate about have always been there. It just took someone having the conversation with them and like packaging it together in a way that people can say, wow, this is really what Continental is all about. This is why it's such a great place to work. And this is how I can really shape the future of mobility. So it's really neat to kind of see that all come together, and we play a big role in that. So from my side, definitely involving your senior leaders and keeping your employees involved are some of my like the top tips that I would say. Allie, do you have anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I think I would just add, if you're starting from scratch, that it's important you balance some quick wins with your long-term strategy. As I mentioned, I think it's really important to have that research and the strong guiding EVP that you, everything you do, you follow that. But at the same time, that work, you know, focus groups, persona research, that stuff takes time. So what can you do immediately to start showing people results and to keep people happy that are involved and not lose the momentum that you've built? So for example, while we worked on our personas and our creative approach, we simultaneously worked on our communication materials around candidate experience. So like email templates, interview materials, and our offer letter.
Where can our listeners find out more about Continental's employer brand, maybe specifically for North America, US, and also where can they connect with yourselves?
You can find more about our employer brand at continental.com/careersus. And also we're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And personally, we're both on LinkedIn as Allie Brown and, or maybe Allison Brown and Tanya McNabb.
Yeah, and it's Tanya with an A, T-A-N-Y-A, McNabb. You can find me on LinkedIn.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time, both.
Thank you.
Okay, there you have it. Now, if you liked today's episode, first of all, be sure to reach out to and thank Ali and Tanya. Second of all, why not subscribe? Yes, this podcast is available on SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Acast, Stitcher, all of those places. And if you really liked it, then feel free to leave an honest review on one of these platforms. It really helps us to get in front of more listeners like yourself. I should also mention that just like Continental is a lot more than just tires, Link Humans is a lot more than just this podcast. We keep very busy at the moment with EVP development, activating employer brands, a lot of advertising going on at the moment, advisory embedding employer brand inside organizations as well, which is a continuous hurdle for the companies that we work with, as well as, of course, measuring employer brand with the Employer Brand Index. So if you're interested in any of the above, feel free to reach out to me at jorgen@linkhumans.com. And that was it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to catching up with you next time. Hey!
What's the difference between a well-dressed man on a bicycle and a poorly dressed man on a unicycle? Attire.